Thanks for coming out this evening, and we'll read some more verses in the New Testament in 1 Corinthians chapter 6. So we've heard the gospel particularly from an event in the life of the Lord Jesus, and then we get similar truth taught in the epistles. And so reading in 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and at verse number 9. 1 Corinthians 6 and verse number 9. And Paul is writing to the Christians there at Corinth, "Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. And such were some of you, but you're washed, but you're sanctified, but you're justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God." Now, I want to read some more verses in Revelation at the end of our Bible, at the end of the book of Revelation, chapter 20 initially, verse 11. Just as you're turning there, the thought that I have for us to consider tonight is a question: are you ready for heaven? Are you fit to be in heaven? Are you fit for God's holy presence? Let's read these verses in Revelation 20 and at verse 11. Thinking of that question, are you fit to be admitted into the presence of a holy God? Revelation 20, verse 11. "And I saw a great white throne, and from him and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books, according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them, and they were judged, every man, according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire." And just two more verses in chapter 21. Firstly, there in verse number 8, chapter 21, verse 8, "But the fearful and unbelieving and the abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death." And then the last verse of that chapter, verse 27. And this is speaking about the holy heavenly city, the holy Jerusalem. So think of it as heaven itself. And verse 27 says, "There shall in no wise enter into it anything that defileth, neither whatsoever worketh abomination or maketh a lie, but they which are written in the Lamb's book of life." And we trust that God would bless the reading of these verses. Paul is writing here in 1 Corinthians 6. He's writing to these Christians at Corinth, and he's giving them teaching to emphasize the importance of holiness in their lives as believers in the Lord Jesus. But we can see the truth of the gospel being brought out in these verses, because these verses that we read in 1 Corinthians 6, they do emphasize the seriousness of man's sin in the sight of a holy God. And what we've heard already from our brother Derek has emphasized that as well, the seriousness of our condition as sinners before God. And how important to realize, how important to understand the consequences of our sin. Where does our sin place us as far as God is concerned? The reality is that our sin places us far distant from a holy God. Our sinful condition as sinners, we're not fit to be in God's heaven. We're not fit as defiled sinners to be in the holy presence of God. There's a verse in the Old Testament in Isaiah's prophecy, chapter 59, verse 2. The prophet says, and this is really God that's speaking to the people of Israel, your iniquities, that's your sins, your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid God's face from you that he will not hear. So that's the seriousness of our sin and the seriousness of being a sinner before God. And the further reality of this is that our sins will eternally separate us from the holy God of heaven. We will have no admission, no entrance into God's presence. We'll have no admission into God's holy heaven if we remain as defiled sinners before God. So how important to understand this truth. God cannot have defiled sinners in heaven before him. Going back again to the Old Testament, the prophet Habakkuk says of God that he's of purer eyes than to behold evil. He cannot look on iniquity. So that's the seriousness of the sinful condition. And if we remain as unregenerate sinners, that means not saved. If we remain not saved, no forgiveness of our sins, we remain as defiled sinners before God. If we never trust in the Lord Jesus for cleansing, for healing, for that forgiveness of our sins, the reality is we will remain as unrighteous, guilty, defiled sinners, and we would never be able to be in heaven. We would never be able to be with God and with the Lord Jesus. And how does the Apostle Paul bring this out in these verses that we read in 1 Corinthians 6? He says, do you not know, know you not, that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? And then he catalogues the kind of unholy behavior that would be so characteristic of unregenerate, sinful humanity. He says, be not deceived, neither fornicators or adulterers or idolaters or effeminate or abusers of themselves with mankind, thieves, covetous, drunkards, revilers, extortioners. They will not inherit the kingdom of God. Now, that is not meant as an exhaustive list that only those types of sin will bar men and women from heaven. But we can appreciate that those sins would cover probably every one of the people that walk on this earth. We see here gross immorality. We recognize that as sin. The Bible tells us that God will judge those who by their sinful acts are fornicators and idolaters and these kind of gross immorality. But then it speaks of the covetous, speaks of drunkards, it speaks of those who are revilers, and it touches the character of the lives of sinful men and women. And so, dear friend, in the meeting tonight, we're all in the same sinful condition before God. And the scripture tells us in the book of Romans, we're all under sin. And what we've heard already this evening has emphasized that, our defiled state before a holy God, our need for cleansing, our need for the forgiveness of our sins. We're all under sin. And the scripture says, there is none that doeth good. No, not one. There is none righteous amongst the sons of sinful Adam, the sinful sons of Adam, I should say, because we're all sons of Adam and we're sinners by nature because of that, and our lives confirm it by our practice and by our behavior. We are sinners before God. And so we cannot hide our sin from God. He sees our sin. The scripture says that neither is there any creature that is not manifest in God's sight, and all things are opened and laid bare before the God with whom we have to do, the Creator God, the one that we're accountable to, the God who created us. It's all, our lives are all laid bare and known to God. We cannot hide our sin from God. And so this is the seriousness of our sinful condition. And just before we come back to those verses in 1 Corinthians 6, I wanted to read those verses in Revelation. And I wanted to just make the point from those verses that as defiled sinners, we will never be able to be in God's heaven. We read there in Revelation 20. We read there about the place where God will judge sinners, the place where defiled sinners who never get saved, who never trust in the Lord Jesus, they will stand before the holy God of heaven and the Lord Jesus, and they will be judged for their sins. And John was given that revelation of that occasion, something that is yet future, something that is still to take place. But I want you to understand that it's recorded in the Word of God. It is absolutely sure that God will judge sinners. As sure as everything that happened to you so far today, just as sure is the truth that God will judge sinners at the great white throne, because it's written in the Word of God. And there is not one word of Scripture that will ever be found to be untrue, because God cannot lie. And if God has written these things in His Word, they are true, and He will bring them to pass. And there will be a judgment for sinners at the great white throne. And very briefly, John describes that scene. He was given a revelation of it. Sinful humanity, the small and the great of this world, those maybe that were poor, maybe of little significance as far as their lives were in this world, and then the great, the rich, the important, the famous people, the presidents, the prime ministers, the potentates, those that rule in this world. And if they do not have their sins forgiven, if they do not receive the Lord Jesus for salvation, the small and the great, they will be raised to stand before God at that great white throne of judgment. And John, as he was given that revelation of this, he saw that there were books that were opened on the occasion of that judgment. And it talks about books in the plural, the books that catalog the sinful lives of men and women. And then it speaks about another book, a book that's separate from those other books, a book that's described as the Book of Life, the Lamb's Book of Life. And as far as those books were concerned, sinful humanity will be judged on the basis of everything that has been recorded in those books. What a salutary thing to think about, that every sin that you and I commit, it's all being recorded in heaven. The evidence is there, the record of our sinful lives. And that record will be brought before every sinner who is judged at God's great white throne. And those verses that we read say twice over that every man will be judged according to their works. And that will be a definitive judgment. There will be no ground for appeal. There will be no second opinion requested. There will be no opportunity for any kind of retrial. Defiled sinners will stand condemned. They will stand in silence because they're before God. And their lives and the sins of their lives will be brought before them. There will be no excuses that they can give. There will be no extenuating circumstances to plead. They will be judged according to their works. And those verses tell us that defiled sinners, they will be eternally sent away from God's presence, cast into that place called the lake of fire. And this is the second death. I'll come back to that book of life in a moment, but just again, those verses in Revelation 21 that we read. The fearful, the unbelieving. Another translation includes just the word sinners. They will have their part in the lake that burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. And as Revelation 21 describes, the holy city coming down from heaven, the place where the Lord Jesus will be, the place where believers in the Lord Jesus will be, the place where those who are saved will be, those who have their sins forgiven. And there's a wonderful description given of that holy city of Jerusalem. But we read that last verse, Revelation 21, verse 27. There shall in no wise enter into that city, that place of heaven. There shall in no wise enter into it anything that defiles. But who will gain admission into God's holy presence? They which are written in the Lamb's book of life. So there's the book that's going to make all the difference when it comes to God's righteous judgment. That will be the deciding factor as to the eternal destiny of humanity. And I'll come back just to finish with that thought in relation to the book of life. But how does Paul, back in 1 Corinthians 6, what does he say to these believers? He says there in verse 11, having given that list of the sinful behavior that characterizes sinful men and women, he says, such were some of you. That's the way you were before you were saved, before you trusted in the Lord Jesus. And then he says, but, three times over. And it speaks of their conversion to Christ. It speaks of their salvation. It speaks of the fact that they had trusted in Christ for the forgiveness of their sins. He says, but you're washed. He says, but you're sanctified. He says, but you're justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. So they had been blessed with God's salvation. These believers, they had come to trust in the Lord Jesus. That had fitted them to be in the holy presence of God. That salvation, that trust in the Lord Jesus, that had fitted them to be in heaven, to enter into that city, that heavenly city, the holy Jerusalem. Because Paul can say, you're washed, you're sanctified, and you're justified in the name of the Lord Jesus. They had been washed. They had been wholly cleansed of all of the defilement and all of the stain of their sin. They were sanctified, set apart to God, to be blessed by God with his salvation. They were justified before God. They were acquitted of the guilt of their sins. They were declared righteous before a holy God. How had it been possible? It had been possible because they had trusted in the Lord Jesus. That was the message that the Apostle Paul had brought to the city of Corinth that these people had heard. He says to them that when I came to Corinth, earlier in the epistle, he says, I only had one message for you. The only thing I had to tell you was about Jesus Christ and him crucified. And it was the preaching of the cross of the Lord Jesus, the place where he provided salvation, the place where he gave himself for sinners, the place where he took the place of sinful humanity and bore the price for man's sin. And those who trust in his work on the cross, they are saved. They have their sins forgiven. They're washed. They're sanctified. They're justified in the name of the Lord Jesus. That precious blood that was shed at Calvary is the means by which we can be fitted for the presence of God. Scripture says that the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. That's the power of that precious blood that was shed there at Calvary. John says earlier in Revelation, unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood. Friend, tonight, if you're not saved, you're defiled by the guilt and by the stain of your sin. You need to be washed. You need to be cleansed. You need to have that forgiveness of your sins. You need to be sanctified. The scripture says that we can be sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. It's a verse in Hebrews 10. We heard the verse this morning from Hebrews 13. Wherefore Jesus also, that he might sanctify the people with his own blood. What did he do? He suffered without the gate, outside of the gate of the city of Jerusalem. That speaks of what he did on the cross. That sacrifice that he made there, outside of the city wall of Jerusalem, that he might sanctify the people with his own blood. You need to be justified. To be justified, the scripture says, freely by God's grace, through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. So that's the message that we have for you tonight. If you're not saved, you're a defiled sinner, unclean, not fit for God's heaven. You need to be washed. You need to be sanctified. You need to be justified through trusting in the Lord Jesus and the precious blood that he shed there on Calvary's cross. That is how you get your name written in the Lamb's Book of Life. And as I close tonight, let me just remind you of those last verses, the last verse of Revelation 20 and the last verse of Revelation 21. Revelation 20, verse 15, whosoever was not found written in the Book of Life was cast into the lake of fire. So if your name is not written in that book of life, you will be judged at the great white throne, you will be sent from God's presence, and it will be an eternal separation in that place called the lake of fire. But the last verse of Revelation 21, there shall in no wise enter into heaven anything that defiles, but they which are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. I wonder, friend, tonight, is your name written in that book, the Book of Life? Is your name written in heaven? You know, the Lord Jesus spoke about that. We'll finish with this. There was an occasion when he sent out 70 of his disciples to preach the name of the Lord Jesus, and those disciples, They saw the power of the name of the Lord Jesus. They were able to heal people. They were able to cast out demons. And they came back to the Lord Jesus. And they were glad that the name of Jesus had such power. And they were rejoicing in that. And the Lord Jesus says to them, he says, and this is in Luke 10, verse 20. He says, notwithstanding, in spite of everything that you have seen, the power of the name of the Lord Jesus, he says, in this rejoice, not that the spirits are subject to you, not that you're able to cast out demons, not that you're able to do all of these mighty works. The Lord Jesus said, rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven. That's the word of the Lord Jesus to each one of us tonight. That's the big thing, friend. That's what can truly fill your heart and soul with rejoicing and joy tonight, to know that your name is written in heaven. It's written in that Lamb's Book of Life, and to know that you're no longer a defiled sinner in God's sight, but through trusting in the Lord Jesus, through trusting in his death on the cross, the precious blood that he shed there, you can be a sanctified saint of God, and you can be fit for the eternal presence of the God of heaven. We trust that that will be true for each one here tonight. Let us pray.